Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the zero emission future we all hope for. I'm Paul Kirby and every week I'm joined by wonderful members of the EV Cafe, and this week it's John Curtis, everybody. Welcome, John.
Sorry, you got the short straw this week. It's me.
It's always the best straw. We love the belt. You know, other members of the EV Cafe are available, of course.
But anyway, John is just fodder.
It's fodder. Well, so every week we have the wonderful privilege of getting to know some of the innovators, pioneers and collaborators of our industry. And this week is no exception. We've got the wonderful Liz Allen, everybody. Welcome, Liz.
Yay! Hello, everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening and whatever time it is in your world. So, Liz Allen, Full Circle Continuous Improvement Director, Consultant, all of those good things, but also, interestingly, mentor. And I think, as I look through your profile and your history and the things that you've done, you're all about people, Liz, aren't you?
I am, very much. Very much so. People have been very important throughout my life in helping people.
It's like you're a professional friend. I've known you for about a year, I think. And the minute I spoke to you, I felt like I'd known you forever. And you're just one of those really warm, giving people. Have you always been like that?
Do you know, I think I learnt it from my dad. My dad was one of the biggest influences in my life. He was such a kind person. And I think it was funny, there was a massive big age gap between me and my brothers. So my brothers were kind of 15 and 16 years difference in age to me. So being the girl coming in, you know, to his life, it was just, yeah, we got on so well and it was brilliant. But yeah, he was always a massive kind of inspiration to me, really. And he was, like I say, I learned about people because of him.
And is he still with us, your dad?
No, we lost him. We lost him in 2013, actually, I'm afraid. But he was 93. My mum had me when she was 44. So I was a bit of a late starter, you know.
I think I was a bit of a mistake, but don't tell anybody.
Thank goodness for that.
But it's funny, that kind of idea of, and I'm just going to go straight for the throat here, because that idea that we're maybe a mistake sometimes really shapes how we behave through life. Like I know I'm a mistake. I was... Yes. Anyway, but as in the, you know, obviously not in the world of life and destiny and all that kind of stuff. I know that, but it does shape. Do you recognize that through your life?
I don't know about the fact about being a mistake. I think I know that my mum and dad always said that I was a happy mistake. Do you know what I mean? So I tend to think that. That's my joie de vivre, really. You know what I mean? It's kind of being a happy mistake, and I think that's how my career spanned as well. I've just been a happy mistake all the way through. So, you know.
Can I just challenge both of you? Can I challenge both of you? Because this is fascinating, Paul. You're a man of faith. Liz, do you have a faith? Because I worked for a judge once who he was the Lord President of the Supreme Courts in Scotland. And he said in a ruling that a child is a gift from God. And it's almost by definition impossible to be a mistake. This is something which is out with anyone's control to guarantee or do otherwise. And so by definition, you are a present, you're a gift. From whether you believe in God or life, whatever it happens to be, surely.
So I agree with that. I don't know what Liz thinks.
Okay. I would not say I'm religious at all. I would say I am you could say I'm a spiritualist because I actually believe in, I do believe in spirit. If my husband's actually listening, he'll be shaking his head now going, as a scientist.
He's a scientist.
As a scientist, he's not up for that. He's really, really not up for that whatsoever. So I would, yeah. And actually, so I'm going to sort of tangent off here. My mum thought she was going through the menopause and then found out she was pregnant, you know? So.
Wow.
It's just, it's life, isn't it? You know, it's just life. These things happen and they were really, really happy. My brothers were only kind of 13 months apart. So they were very kind of close in age. And I did have the Mickey taken out of me a lot when I got to an age where they go, it's their friends that come round and go, "Ooh, we remember you when you were having a bath." And I was just like, please, just no.
You were 32. No.
Yeah. Oh, your mum and dad used to have you in a little bath in front of the fire to keep you warm. And I'd be like, oh, good God, can the floor just open up and swallow me now, please? So, yeah, it was fun.
Well, Liz, look, we've sort of gone very deep very quickly, but look, let's take a step back just for a moment, because I you know, John's points are amazing. That, you know, in terms of, I agree, we're not mistakes, right? We're here for a reason, we're here for a purpose, and we're making the difference that we can do, however we view how that happened. But we fast forward right to today for a moment, because of course, your career now, what you do now, is all about sustainability. And often the people that are listening to this podcast as don't tell anybody, but actually Liz has got her own podcast as well. It's called The Electric Evolution. It's very good.
Had a couple of really good guests on it.
Amazing guests. Right. Yeah, some bloke talking about bands. Some other bloke talking about dull. The EV cafe, and didn't get many listens apparently, but you know, they all count. When people listen to that, they really love it. Anyway, so how did this little bit come to, like, ESG, sustainability? How did you get on that journey?
So, I've been married to my husband. We kind of met in 1999, and bizarrely enough, I'm originally from Halifax in West Yorkshire, and I moved down to the southeast in 95. And when the company I worked for, where we were, it was kind of manufacturing and service company based in Slough, there was an advert went up in the canteen for a singer in a band, and I'd always wanted to do it. I loved music, and this sounds like I'm really tangenting, but I'm not. It all comes together. Anyway, so a lot of the people that were actually in that band worked for the Met office before they moved down to Exeter, and it just happened that I joined as a singer. And a couple of years later, a couple of the members left. They were married. It was a drummer and a bassist, and they split up, which is very sad. But anyway, so we got a new bassist who happens to now be my husband. So meteorology and kind of climate change has been in my life since 1999. You know, in fact, earlier than that. So I met Rich in as I call him. In 99, but the Met Office guys, I've known them since 95, 96 kind of thing. So, like I say, just kind of recognizing this and living it and listening to him, and actually as Rich's career's progressed, and I'm here, I'm supporting him as his wife, you know, and his best friend, because I'd say he's my best friend, you know. It just happens when you're married. And actually deciding to come back into continuous improvement. Oh God. Right. It was a bit of a difficult thing, because when I was younger, when my son was younger, so we've got a boy called James, he's 17. When he was little, I stopped working in continuous improvement for a bit. I made cakes, bizarrely enough. Okay.
Rather well, I understand.
I did win an award.
Yes, the cake crusader. Even.
It was called the cake crusader. Yeah, So I did that, and I made them for people who were celiac like me. So me and my son are both celiac. And then I kind of did some training in when the new allergen laws came in because of the fact that we're both celiac. And then I kind of retrained as a vocational assessor, but I'd taken a training qualification as well because I love training. I love consultancy. Training it's been about the knowledge transfer. Actually, I want people to know I want to take what's in my head, what's in my noggin, and pass it on to those people, because I just think, why not share it? You know, and it just happens that as I've moved forwards and I've got back into continuous improvement, sustainability is just part of what we do as a family. It's part of my husband's career. And it just seemed absolutely obvious that this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm helping people moving forward and getting towards, you know, kind of trying to achieve net zero by using continuous improvement alongside what everybody else is doing just made real sense to me, you know?
Yeah, and it's something that's come up as a theme in my world, that sustainability is not just about taking a car or a van or a truck and making it electric and zero emission, right? It's about sustainability is in everything that we do. Like, the way we, you know, the company that sponsors the EV Cafe is EV Civils, right? And they put low carbon concrete into the ground pre-cast so that they don't have to do multiple site visits. That lean management kind of process. Is that what you're kind of referring to? Like sustainability in everything, not just, you know, waving a flag about electric cars.
It's about doing it right first time. And when I was at your partner's event recently, wasn't I? And that's what I was talking about, you know, in my 3 minutes. It was, you know, you can push sustainability as much as you want, but actually if you're not doing it right first time, then you're actually increasing your carbon footprint, really. Do you know what I mean? Because why would you not want to do it and get it right? So that's, it's funny because for a long, long time, I've been able to sit in a company just for a very short length of time, and I'll listen to people talking and I'll know exactly how to help them. Because actually, as an external person coming in, you can hear things that they don't, because they're kind of like, oh, this is going wrong, that's happening, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I can go, right, so these things that you're talking about, can I just ask you a question, you know, or a few questions? Why are you doing that more than once? Why is that happening? Why are you guys not understanding what's going over there and over there? Why are you not communicating? So I think really lean is part of lean management, lean manufacturing, lean process improvement, whatever you want to call it, and Six Sigma. But lean has been my kind of, again, it's part of my makeup now. We talk about Kaizen, and I don't know whether you can see behind my head. You probably can't. I don't know. It's there. But there's
Henry the word, Ford.
Yeah, there. Well, yeah, there's all sorts of things up there. Oh. Yeah. But basically, Kaizen means incremental changes. So, and that's what I talk to people about. It's about incremental changes. But I also, besides all the tools I've got, I talk about it on a communication level to people, because communicating, if they can be perfect, they can be pushing sustainability, they can be doing all of this, but if they're not communicating with each other, then that lets them down as well. And because everybody just wants to carry on, don't they? They just want to do their job, you know?
Well, that was going to be my point, Liz, that there are lots of people who will sit and say, oh, yes, I get that. I want to be better. There's an even bigger group of people, I suggest, who go, that means change, and change is scary. How do you take people on the journey who just don't get it? Because the vast majority of this country do not get that it's quite simple to make changes that incrementally improve things and will make their lives better. How do you encourage the naysayers to say, do you know what, I'm going to give that a go?
Do you know, I've had so many people, I've worked in vocational training as well. My God, I call them the arms folded brigade. No, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. So I use anecdotal evidence. Okay, so I'm really good at anecdotal evidence. I've been a storyteller for many, many years now. And actually, because I learn really quickly and I can listen to, as soon as I've got it from different places, I'll bring it into the training, the work that I'm actually doing, and give them that evidence and kind of say, you know, in this company here, then they're doing this, that, and the other. And actually taking them on a journey. It is about this journey that you take people on. And I've got to say, at the end of the day, these people are actually kind of open to it. And sometimes, I mean, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes you've got to work on them a little bit. But a lot of the time I've actually had somebody who's been like that and then they totally get it. And I think it's about empowerment. It's about empowering those people to, because a lot of the time those people who, the Arms Folded Brigade, they've not been given an opportunity to think or to be involved or to be kind of, to understand what the company objectives are. Because the leaders have just been so quick to, you know, we want to do this, this is how we want to do it, we want to get to there and that, blah, blah, blah. But they're not sharing it, you know? So people are just learning by rote, you know? They're just learning because people, you know, somebody said, this is how we want to do it, blah, blah, blah. Actually talk to them, bring them down to the level, you know, come down to their levels. Usually the people who aren't interested in pushing things forward, they just need to understand what it's about, you know. So if we're talking sustainability, I mean, you know, I've got friends now and colleagues who don't particularly want to move to EVs yet. Because they think the infrastructure isn't there, you know, and I have to, oh my God, it just drives me potty. But I have to sit there, you know, I sit there and I listen to them and I kind of say, right, okay, I'm trying to give them that anecdotal evidence, you know, point them in the direction of your podcast, my podcast, you know, all these different places, you know, because they just hear what they hear. I've got somebody I get on really, really, really well with, but she kind of says, but I like driving my diesel. And I'm kind of like, oh my God, you know, and it is just about trying to keep going and keep pushing it, not in an aggressive way, but just sort of trying to persuade these people, you know. So my training, that's what I do. But sustainability, you've just got to keep going, haven't you?
John, as you're talking, what I'm seeing is somebody that truly immerses themselves in life. That's kind of an I mean, I liked you before we started, but I'm liking you more every breath. I actually really love listening to people sing. I there's just something completely joyful about that in my world. You know, that's just I would wish with all my heart to be able to sing. But you're also talking about singing, you're talking about storytelling, you're talking about Kaizen, which is a quite immersive process. You kind of, that whole thing, getting to know people, helping people understand themselves. And it just strikes me that you're really, really creative. Where did that creative muscle come from, and how did you kind of evolve that?
Do you know what? I've got to say, bizarrely enough, when I was in my 20s, I didn't think I had a creative bone in my body. I'm not kidding you. I really didn't. And I suppose I didn't see music as being creative. And then all of a sudden it just dawned up, because, you know, when you're in your 20s and you just don't get it. I've always loved music, and even the cake making, it's just, I think it comes, well, God. So the music side definitely comes from both sides of my family, because my dad used to play the piano, my grandma played the piano, and my grandma, my God, so my grandma lived till she was 101. Wow. She was a long liver. So sorry, James, I might be here for a while, my son. and I think, on the create, I mean, you know, the whole creative thing, I don't know. I'd just say the music comes from my grandma. she was a massive influence to me. Oh my God, I loved her to bits. I was absolutely mortified. She died 3 weeks before I moved down south. So that was a horrible, horrible experience to come down to and being away from everybody and then all that. But you know, but she was absolutely fantastic. She was hilarious. I always say, this isn't creative, but I always say that my grandma's sense of humour missed a generation, missed my mum and my auntie and then hit me.
And you got it in spades. Liz, who do you sing like? Give us a sense of your style.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know. Who do I sing like? I've got quite...
What sort of stuff do you sing?
Well, so we used to... Oh, my... Play That Funky Music is kind of like pumping. We pumped out Play That Funky Music for my 50th birthday. But we also kind of, we also wrote some of our own stuff previously and we sang for my 50th. So it's kind of, so I've done a bit of kind of Sheryl Crow a little bit. So I'm kind of, I love all kinds of music. I really, really do. We tried lots in the past, you know what I mean? And some of it, we were kind of like, oh no, that just really doesn't work, you know? But I also did, you know, She Sells Sanctuary by The Cult.
Course.
Yeah, so anything you can pump it out. So I think I hold my own when I can pump it out. So yeah, and I've missed it. I have missed it. We haven't done it for ages.
So Liz, favorite song that you wrote?
Oh my God, now you've got me. Well, so me and Rich we've written one together. Oh, you're going to ask me now and I'm going to have totally forgotten, aren't I? I need to get my phone and put my phone. I'm using my phone now to this.
How about we test the pipes then? I was a boogie singer.
Playing in a rock and roll band.
Do, do, do.
There you go.
And they were dancing.
I won't ruin this.
There you go.
I'll just do the dancing.
You can do it.
So it sounds like everything in your world is peachy and that you are just marvellous and you're very creative and everything works well. And if it doesn't, you continuously improve it until it is fabulous. But life's not like that, is it? Tell us about something which has really tested you and made you think, do you know what? Stuff this. I'm struggling here.
Oh my God, John, there's been plenty of times like that. So many times. I mean, like I say, so losing my dad in 2013, and it makes me emotional now just thinking about it. You know, it was such an emotional time for me because it wasn't a quick, he didn't go quickly, and he really didn't want to go, and he was 93. Do you know what I mean? And actually, that was absolutely heartbreaking. And then I lost my mum 11 months to the day afterwards, and that just blew my mind, you know. And then we lost the younger of the two brothers in 2017. So I had 2013, 2014, 2017. And it has been a rough patch. It really has.
What,
you know,
what did you learn as a result of all that? Because I mean, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal. Nobody would want to go through that. But you being you, you will have picked up a message, a way of thinking about this, which is quite Liz Allen. What did you take from it?
Oh, there's so much. My God, learning to just keep carrying on. So I haven't even talked to you about the fact I was in a car crash when I was 18, have I?
No. Oh, God.
Tell us about that.
I am always learning and I'm always, I wouldn't say I don't reinvent myself. I just learn shed loads, you know, and.
So what? Be precise. What did you learn as a result of losing those very dear people to you? Because I've had that loss and kind of have my own version of it. But what did it mean to you and what did you learn?
I still feel that learning is one thing, but feeling that they're still with me is another, you know, and for those that don't believe, but I go and see a medium every now and again, and
I'm an extra large. So you know.
Yeah, me
definitely
too.
Definitely not a medium.
But do you know what? I think the biggest thing is just don't beat yourself up too much. If I, you know, thought about what, you know, all the things that have gone through my head all of that time, I had to give myself time to step back, you know, so if I was giving that advice to anybody else and they'd gone through or going through anything similar, give yourself time, let yourself grieve, let yourself cry. If you need to cry, don't think that you can't cry. You know, I mean, God, you know, my poor son, when you know, he lost both his grandparents when he was quite young, you know, 17, and they've not been around for quite some time, you know, and actually he saw his mum crying a lot, you know, but I had to let it out because I think you have to recognize these things. And absolutely. also I learned that the right thing for me to do was actually to go and see a counselor, you know, because sometimes sharing it with other people can help you recognize in yourself what you know. I'm a verbal processor. You can probably tell. Funny that, isn't it? But actually, being able to talk to somebody else who can either listen or question you in return made such a difference to me. And I will always say to people, don't be scared. Don't be scared to go and talk to people about this. The car crash I was in. So just going further back, I was 18, so it was in 1987. So I'm giving my age away to those who've got fingers and calculators and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
younger than me, Liz, and younger than John. So that's all it means to that.
Everybody's younger than me.
So, but at that point in time, nobody talked about having any trauma counselling. You know, it wasn't a thing. I'm 54 now. I'm telling you, you know, I'm 54 and I'm only realizing that trauma affected me for the rest of my life. And I would say probably that's why I actually moved into continuous improvement, because basically I was very smashed up. I was in hospital for 5 weeks. I had a broken femur, a broken ankle, broken jaw, fractured pelvis, 30 stitches in my head. It was not a nice accident at all. The engine came through the front of the car, crushed me. I took them 45 minutes to cut me out. Okay. I know this isn't, I'm not trying to bring this down. I'm basically saying that I had to teach myself to walk again with the help of physios and stuff, you know, so I've pushed myself, you know, I came out of school with O levels. I'm that old, love. I came out of school with O levels, but I didn't go to university. And sometimes I actually think, well, what would I have done? And I always say that I kind of have this circuitous route of my career. It's kind of gone all over the place, but it's brought me to where I am now. And I've learned so much, and I'm using all of my knowledge and all of my experiences and all of the people that I've met and tried, you know, helped and hopefully helped through the years to do what I'm doing now, providing the training that I'm doing now, you know, so. I embrace change because that's what I've had to do. You know, I've had to force myself through so many different. It was funny. I was talking to somebody about all the crappy things that have happened, you know, and they were like, oh my God, you know, and I could hear myself saying these things. And I was like, no, come on, Liz, bring yourself out of this. And it is about actually recognizing it and then going and getting past it and through it and out the other side. And yeah, I still suffer from anxiety. I still do. But people wouldn't necessarily know it. I mask quite well. You might think, you know, I'll be there going, hello. And inside I'm going, oh God, oh God.
Liz, I'm so grateful to you for sharing in the way that you have just there, because I think what people don't realise as we sort of move through life and the challenges of life, it's those challenges that build the resilience that we need. I genuinely think that resilience is a lost art and that people would rather escape the tough situation or kind of go round it or not. You know, not deal with it. And I think, you know, you're right. We need help from one another, don't we? You've sought help through your life. And I know John and I both have, you know, sought help. And actually, more and more people are beginning to talk about that. And it's so important. And I'm really grateful to you, because I think, you know, without resilience, we're not going to get through these, you know, through the challenges that we've got ahead of us for zero emission, for sustainability. If we want this planet to still be around in a while, we're going to have to push through. There's going to be some tough stuff as a race rather than just as individuals. But as long as we're doing it as individuals, and thank you. Now, I'm going to take you to a different place if I can. So we've heard about the valleys.
It's a song. Let me take you to a place, another. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, stop right, showing off, you two bloody singers. I want to be able to sing. You two stop.
I want to sing.
Oh, bless him.
Another one bites the dust.
Sorry, move on.
So what's a time in your life where that you done a lot of different things? What are you most proud of? What are you most excited about?
Do you know what? I think bizarrely enough, right. Moving down south was a massive, massive thing. You know, nobody in my family, we were just a load of Yorkshire people living in Halifax, and, you know, nobody had moved away. But, you know, so that was massive. 200 odd miles away from home when I was like in 20, 25, 26. That was massive. And actually, I think my dad thought I'd just want to move back after 6 weeks. Do you know what I mean? And he'd be like, right, she'll be contacting me soon. She'll be on the phone saying, I want to come home. I don't like it. I've actually lived down south longer than I've lived up north now, you know? So that was a massive time in my life. But I mean, things, you know, like kind of setting I've been self-employed on and off since the 90s. So that's another thing that I've done, you know, kind of actually going into self-employment.
Mm. And what was it about that moving south and kind of that sense of standing in your own two feet, which was obviously quite more poignant for you, that having, you know, having the journey you'd had from the accident at 18 through that, you know, kind of like striding out on your own. What made you like so proud? What was that sense of achievement? How did that feel? What was it like?
Well, bizarrely enough, I knew that I always wanted to leave. There was something inside me that told me that I needed to leave. And I got I got the opportunity. I was working for a company called Satchwell Controls in Leeds. And actually this job came up, and it wasn't, so at the time I was working in customer service, and I was sending out engineers to breakdowns and things like that. That's why service has always been in my heart, kind of thing. And I got this opportunity to move down south to work in finance. This guy who I didn't even really like. So it was a bit of a prat, but there you go. Hopefully he's not listening. but kind of that, just the kind of the want, the urge to move down was, I can't even tell you. It just seemed like perfect timing. And actually, I kind of, and this sounds a bit awful, but I sort of knew that if I stayed up there, my life wouldn't be the same. It's been very, very different since I've moved down here. I'm not saying it wasn't.
No, I was just going to say, so like a defining moment almost. You know, the rest of your life pivoted at that point.
Totally did. Yeah, I wouldn't have met my husband if I hadn't moved down here. I wouldn't have had the life. I've got some really good friends that I've met down here.
You have, yes.
Including you, darling. So my there are four of us that I'm friends with Pete, with this three friends that I've got that since I moved down here. Two of them were my bridesmaids back in 2004, and the other one was pregnant at the time and didn't want to be my bridesmaid because she was pregnant. Ooh. And we've actually we've kind of been friends for so many years. And the one thing I'd say, if as and when I'm dead and gone, people will say on my gravestone, it'll be Liz made us laugh. And because actually we have so much fun, we have so many laughs. We are They're probably going to hate me saying this on a podcast. We are called the Shazza Spangles, and don't ask me why. It's a long story, and it involved alcohol. but oh, defining dear. Moment in the fact that different set of friends, different life, very my aspect, the way that I look at things is different. When you're up north, I must admit there were certain things that I look back now and think, well, that wasn't quite right, was it, really? You know, the way that people talk to one another, or the way that you see other cultures and things like that, it was a little bit archaic, you know? So coming down here and embracing other cultures and other people, and just, it gave me a totally different life, really. So I'm just glad I did.
I've listened to you very carefully talk about your past and what you've learned from it and the things you do now to help other people learn, which has been really, really illuminating. I want to take you into the future a little. You're Liz. I went on Saturday last week to see Lizzo,
oh, yes.
The singer, who's utterly amazing and is somebody who teaches us to feel special, to be ourselves, to be proud of who we are. And I wonder, Lizzo's most famous song is called It's About Damn Time. What is it about damn time for, according to this, Liz? Oh.
You mean Lizzie?
Lizzie!
Right, it's about damn time that people started using the training programs that I've got and in their businesses, because I can flipping help. It is, and it's about damn time that, you know, I started being able to recognize that I'm quite, my self-confidence is, you might not think so, but my self-confidence or, you know, self-worth can be quite low at times. But I, you know, it's about damn time I actually recognized that I'm better than I think I am.
Yeah. That. Absolutely, because you are. Yeah. You are quite remarkable. One of the most remarkable people I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. Genuinely.
Bless you. Oh, thank you. Oh, and I'm not very good at taking praise either.
Well, so take all of this learning, Liz. Take all of this learning and look back at the girl that was 16, 17, just out of school, pocket full of O-levels, what advice would you give that person, your teenage self?
Believe you can do it. Don't think that you can't do it, because you can. You know, and nice. always laugh. Always have a laugh with people. Always lower the tone, because I've always lowered the tone.
Yes, my kind of girl.
That's why just, you and John get on so well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And be who you are. Don't think that you have to be somebody else. You know. And you know what? And that's not just for me. That's for everybody else. Just be who you are.
Do you know what, Liz? There's a lot of advice in the things that you've said, and they are hugely big, right? And we've kind of condense those down, but you know, be who you are, don't be afraid, you know, believe that you can and you will. That is fantastic. Liz Allen, it's been a real joy to get to know a little bit of you, and there's so many things that I will be scratching the surface with you when we meet again at different times, and I love it. I could do this for hours, but It's been a real joy getting to know you on your sustainability journey, your life journey, and you've certainly made us laugh today, and I know that you bring joy to a lot of people, and lower the tone, no doubt, as well.
Of course, along
and,
with that.
And I wish you and the Shazza Spangles all the best. John, remembered. Any final thoughts? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that won't be forgotten.
I've got so many final thoughts, but yeah, it is about damn time, Liz Allen. Remember who you are. Remember that you are the living embodiment of all those fabulous people who went before you, and you are helping to influence those who come after. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you. you guys are just amazing, I've got to say. So meeting you lot, and I think poor Paul getting an somebody you don't know would like to have a 10-minute conversation with you. That's how we got to know each other, didn't we, Paul?
Yeah, yeah. But do you know what?
Paul doesn't do 10-minute conversations.
I do. But we take risk, right? We take risk. We reach out. We step into somebody else's world, and our lives become richer for it. And Liz Allen, today you've made our lives, my life, and I believe the life of everybody that will hear this today, a little bit richer, a little bit more joyous. And I need to talk to you about Lean Six Sigma. We do so many things, my good lady and I, that could be improved upon. So you might have to come and have a cup of tea with us one of these days.
I will. You're not that far away from me.
Yeah. No, indeed. So it's been a great day to chat with Liz Allen today. Do check out her training courses at Full Circle Continuous Improvement. She will make a difference to your business. There's no question about that. If you want to check out more about the podcast that we've got, please head over to the website, evcafe.org, or you will be able to find us on Spotify and Apple and all good podcast channels. Check us out on LinkedIn. Do loads of stuff there. We have weekly webinars and news. Come and check us out. Really good to speak to you, Liz Allen. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. It's been brilliant. Thank you for inviting me on.
Bless you, Liz.
Our pleasure. Have a great day, everybody.